Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 11th of November, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Cahill Frail, Chief Executive Officer of Open Orphan. That's ORPH ticker. And Cahill discusses the signing of a preferred partner agreement with the Ipsum Group. Also on the podcast, Nicola Duke, and she looks at the charts at Bitcoin, Way Education, and Expedia. Plus, as always, I have 2 very important lists for you. The top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top 5 most liked RNSs. By the way, you can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. In fact, top 10 versions of both these lists there. And by the way, if you do receive an RNS via the app, which is free to download, and you like its contents, don't forget to hit that little thumbs up button, and you get a bit more publicity for that RNS, because it could be included in this podcast and on the front page at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Cahill Frail, Chief Executive Officer of Open Orphan. That's ORPH ticker. Cahill, thanks for joining me.
Justin, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Yeah, well, listen, you've a nice contract out with Venn as part of the enlarged group. We'll dig into that, and it's a preferred partner agreement, so we'll get you explaining what that means. But before we do, if someone's listening, because you haven't been around long in your current form, could you explain Open Orphan, please, Kyle, for people?
Yeah, Justin, look, simply Open Orphan is really, it's a services consultancy company supplying the picks and shovels to big pharma companies, and we're avoiding the boom and bust that normally have in product. We're providing high margin, highly profitable consultancy service to big pharma, and really that's what we're all about. And today's agreement is another step along that road.
Yeah. And in fact, you're right, and people may often get confused when you say you're a pharma company. People may think you're in clinical trials and all that, but you're a services company to the pharma. And in fact, today in the market, the company's come out with some data on their clinical trials, and their share price has taken a knock by 50-60%, one of the small caps today. So that's the kind of risk associated with clinical trials, and you're avoiding that, aren't you?
Absolutely. Look, my background, having helped co-fund Amrit Pharma some years ago, which is in great shape now, is to avoid that boom bust that retail investors worry about in pharmaceutical life science. What we're doing, we run the clinical trials for the companies. We get paid in full, regardless of the outcome. It's high margin, viable business. And we also do a lot of consultancy services. So yeah, so avoiding the boom and bust of a failed trial. For instance, if a trial fails, we get paid in full regardless. So it's a nice piece of the pie to be working in.
Yeah, okay. And just a couple of pieces of Venn, isn't it? There's Venn itself, which you're going to be sort of fixing and using as an acquisition vehicle to acquire others. Then you've got 2 sort of data parts, data platform, microbiome platform, and also a data rep. So this is Venn. Take us through this deal today. What's this about then, Cahill?
Yeah, look, maybe step back 30 seconds behind Venn on why we get these long-term companies. Venn acquired two companies some years ago. Mm-hmm. One was Cardinal Systems in Paris, and one was Kinesis Systems in Breda, Holland. Both long history in the business. Both have been around 25 years. Both have some fabulous staff. Both have some fabulous relationships with, like, Ipsen, a multi-billion market cap pharma companies in Europe. So really what we're trying to do is position Venn, instead of doing one-off contracts, have these long-term preferred partner agreements, which makes it great for both Venn and Ipsen, three-year contracts where you're not continually pitching for business. You get continually, let's say, income as we go forward. Venn can plan this way. Ipsen can plan his way. And this one in particular, we're preferred partner to Ipsen for supplying data management and biostats. Really, that's data analysis, data management, statistics for designing trials, scoping out trials, and working on trials. So as part of that, picks and shovels, Ipsen needs this work so they can run trials. We help them run their trials. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and do you know what? I did do a quick sort of Google search of Ipsen. I didn't realise, I mean, I'm not no specialist in this field, so I didn't know how big they were, but I did look up, and their market cap is over 8 billion euros, and they employ 5,700 people. So it's a decent company, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I say we're very excited what we can do with Venn. I know the market still worries about it, but we think Venn is an absolute diamond in the rough. It needs, like all diamonds, it needs some polishing, it needs some straightening. But if you think about, look, our plan is going forward is have a number for these contracts. This one is not that old, and we've already say that we've read substantial revenues from it as per the RNS. We are hoping to sign a further number of these in the coming weeks and months. As soon as they're signed, we'll announce it. And likewise, they're not one-offs, they're three-year contracts that will deliver ongoing, recurring, substantial work for Venn. Again, building up that pipeline of picks and shovels, and hopefully building out our story going forward.
Yeah, yeah, and so that's the sort of fixing up Venn. You're doing that as you're going along right now, and you're also still looking at acquiring companies' vehicles. Is that still going on?
Absolutely, Justin. Look, the idea would be do bolt-ons. Venn is the starting pack. Open Orphan is very data-focused, so like this is data management, data stats. We have got the big platform, but absolutely, look, we would hope, and we've guided the market, we will announce something exciting in the coming months, and it will be very share price accretive. We're not going to be paying cash. We're not going to be willy-nilly handing away oodles of shares, so I think bear with us. We have exciting plans. When they happen, we'll announce them. And our view is that, look, you grow these companies carefully, but you grow them far faster by acquisitions. But being, look, I have a long history of an M&A guy. I've seen acquisitions go wrong. I've seen acquisitions go right. So I think we're exactly where we want to be at the moment, and we're going to deliver very substantial share price appreciation in the months ahead.
Yeah, and sort of obviously you can't say too much, but I mean, do you have a specific target in your aim or...?
Yeah, look, we guided the market, we IPO'd, we had 27 specific targets. We were at detailed discussions with, so you can take it that, yes, the beauty about what we're doing, there's a lot of small companies we can mop up, we can bring them under our arm like we're doing with Venn, and we can help transform them. And so that's exactly where we are at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And how is the data platform, genomic health data platform going?
Yeah, look, it's coming, taking shape really well. Like my fellow founder and partner and director, Maurice Tracy, had been a very strong non-compete from his previous company up until the 31st of August this year. He's now free to talk and really roll up his sleeves. So yes, that's taking shape. We're building, again, very much AI oriented, using artificial intelligence, but we plan to have the largest rare disease database in place within the coming year ahead, and that's the Open Orphan Genomic Data Platform. It has taken, and you see Morris is doing a number of videos and talks for that, and yes, coming to take a ship exactly as planned.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, Kyle, if someone is listening right now, likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, just first of all, we give you exposure to life science, but without the boom and bust, and we believe we'll give shareholders a very substantial appreciation going forward. Management team, including myself, have 35% of the company. We're locked up for 3 years, so there's no flipping shares here. And using artificial intelligence, AI, we're becoming very data-focused, while also building the picks, giving the picks and shovels to big pharma. So avoiding the boom and bust, upward share price appreciation, and the plans are to build a substantial company within the coming months, not years.
Excellent stuff. Kyle, good to chat to you. And hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin. It's a pleasure as always.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is the Crypto Queen. In fact, I shouldn't call you that, should I really? Because have you seen that documentary podcast? Yeah,
I know. She did call herself the Crypto Queen.
I was the missing. It's worth watching anyone. I just recommended to a couple of mates yesterday. The Missing Crypto Queen is called, and it's about one coin, a scam essentially. It's still ongoing. It's phenomenal.
Where did you watch it? Because I've been listening to the podcast.
Yeah, no. Obviously. I listen to the podcast on BBC.
Yeah, very good, isn't it?
And it's phenomenal. They got these multi-level sort of pyramid sellers involved. They started selling, and it's like an army. You can't stop it. It's still earning money. She's gone missing. There never was a cryptocurrency, but people believed in it all around the world. You know, it's phenomenal. But
worth, I know, people in Asia, so much money.
Yeah. So if you get a chance and you've got time to listen to a podcast, it's worth listening to. It's about 8 or 10 episodes, I think. But it's The Missing Crypto Queen. Anyway, let's do. There's something going on with Bitcoin. I just scaled out a bit. You know, I was going to hold, but I scaled out a bit because there's some downward pressure here. And I think it needs to come out of this. It needs to sell off to get to a certain level to build itself back up, you know? And I don't know what that level is. It could even be in 6,000. But, I mean, what's going on, Nick? It's now seeming like it's heading toward a downward trend, isn't it?
It's funny, I see it completely differently to
really?
You know, the last time we spoke, which was back on the 25th of October, 2 weeks ago, we had that explosive rally right afterwards, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we rallied basically from 7,200 to 10,200 in 2 days, 3,000, in 2 days. That was a huge thing. What we're seeing since then is a choppy, overlapping pullback or correction, and we're going to pull halfway back. I think we're going to pull somewhere around 8,500. I'm buying. I'm a buyer there. Yeah. I think there's a really good chance that we find support and carry on. I'm wrong. I'm dead wrong. You know. Much below there, and then potentially we set up another retest of the lows, but we had that huge bounce off that area because 7,000 to 7,400 was really good support, and it still is. So no, I'm not. I know a lot of people are feeling very gloomy about this pullback, but not me.
Maybe you're right.
If you missed it, if you missed the first rocket ship, this is the pullback retrace to jump on.
Yeah, well, I started sort of buying really in that sort of between eight and eight and a half thousand, and then it dipped down, and then it shot back up. And I thought, it's grinding lower. Now, when I look on a daily chart, right, I'm looking at the MACD rolling over. I'm looking at the RSI now down below 50, heading towards 45. Whenever it's done that before. Like
it's continued,
yes, it? Down
because 50%. I agree with you about the RSI because 50% because the midline can be kind of quite a bull bear pivot line, can't it?
Yeah.
So that is a bit of an issue. But for me, okay, because that can it paints late, it can bounce back up again. For me, 8,500 is really good support in that area. Maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah, what I don't like, right, is that, it's these drastic rallies and sell-offs, and then it seems to be no conformity at the moment. I want to see, when it's a big sell-off a while back, and then it started coming, and you could see pretty much, it recovered in a nice bow. It sort of bowed up, and then it shot through the 200-day moving average, and that was the first sort of aggressive, massive rally. But at the moment, it seems to be massive up and then big chunks down. So it's very irrational,
Okay,
erratic,
It is. Okay, but remember that Bitcoin has, there's no central exchange or stock exchange for trading Bitcoin. It's all done, and most of it is done on really dodgy retail brokerage sites where the brokers are trading against you. They run your stops. They, all sorts of nonsense happens. You need to have a kind of firm hands and steel nerves because that happens a lot. And so levels get violated. It's quite spiky. We'll go all the way to the other side and come back again. And just Bitcoin is a bit like that. So
you reckon, at what level do you think it's going lower? If it breaks down below, $8,500 is going lower, you think, yeah?
Yeah, but like the worst thing it'll do is retest the low 7,000s, the low that we made at the end of October. I really think that that's very good support. I don't really see, you know, we could, I suppose, continue lower and make a got. Like the lowest that I see Bitcoin going, let me just measure this one quickly. I really just don't. These people are talking about 3,000 are nuts, I think. Yeah. I would really like to see it hold the 7,000 level. I think worst case it might go to 5,400, but I don't see it. I really don't see it.
Yeah, no, I think that level there, because I've got a green band on where I've drawn a sort of block there, where it's had support there previously. And I think it has to go back to that level to find the level playing field and build on that. At the moment, we had up, down, really irrational, you know, and I just think...
Oh, you mean that big shelf that we built in at the beginning of the 2018 at 6,000?
No. Well, it's, I've got a green band between 7,000 or 7,000. Where it's starting to rally up, 7,000 and 8,000.
Exactly.
In that area there, it needs to form almost a base there, I feel. And then it can build.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, I don't see it going down.
And so I think this is just base building. You know, we've had a sharp rally of $3,000 in 2 days, and now we're just doing some back and fill before we go up again. That's all I see this as.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And I think it might be soon. You know, I really do think that it won't happen in a one. You know, we'll bounce off 8,500 if it's going to work, and then we'll retest it, and then we can. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited actually.
Sight? Well, sound it, Nick. Come on, sound it.
No, I'm ready. Like, I've got my orders in. I'm buying there.
Okay, cool. Marvellous. No, I you know, I think it's decent now. I just want to see a bit of... I suppose you can't get it. Bitcoin is quite volatile. In the past, I've seen, you know, conformity a little bit. And I can see, like, when it built that base, when it was, you know, the cold, the winter, crypto winter, that base was, you know, literally, it for months, it spent at that level, between 3,000 and 4,000. It spent months at that level, sort of building a nice base there, you know? And then all of a sudden, it's starting to move up. At the moment, like I said, it's rallying, then it's selling off, it's rallying and selling off, and then it'll stay flat for a while, then it's rallying and selling off. It's like, it's just a bit mad, is it? Wild, isn't it, at the moment? It needs to calm down a bit and form a base somewhere. Okay.
Exactly.
Let's look at some stocks. So we've had news out on Way Education. They are an online education. I do hold some stock here. It's good. Listen, they're valued at pretty much 14 million. They've got 5 million in cash, which is quite a big chunk of cash. They're generating cash. And they had... the founder of the company sort of passed away start of the year. They changed operations, a significant change. But even with that, they would have made, without exceptional items, they would have made a profit. But this year going forward now, I think they've got a base to work off, and they're going well. It expanded revenue by 44%, previous year was 7%. So good growth. But what do you think about the chart, Nicola?
I really like the chart. So when we look back to the rally that we had off the April lows, we had a really nice five waves up, quite an impulsive look. And that's usually the sign of a new uptrend or an impulsive move. Everyone's looking for fire. And since then, since we topped out in June, we've been really overlapping, choppy, sideways, didn't pull back more than 50%, held above the 200-day moving average. And we've built a kind of a wedge. I think this looks really good to go higher from here, to be honest.
So
we just need a breakout of this wedge. You can draw it from the 4th of June high, connect the September high, and we're just waiting for a breakout. And when we do, I think we'll go to 14.3 next, for sure. And potentially, you know, we could, above 14.3, we could see 20 from here. So, it's a good look. Yeah, a really good look.
Yeah. Well, fundamentals are improving, and I like that move up. Like you say, when it moved up from back in May, punched through. It got resistance at the 200 moving average, but come down a bit, and then punched up through it again. You know, and that's quite nice. Now it's over the top of that 200 moving average.
Now we're holding above it, so it's got support from it. So it's all looking good, and this nice move today brings us above the daily 50 and gets us going in the right direction. So got a really good look, this one.
And when you get a positive move on final results, that's good. That means it's sustainable. You know, that means people looked at the figures, and even though those figures now are now sort of several months off, and they are historical figures, they're growing and they're going in the right direction. When you get a big sell-off on figures, that's a bad thing because it's a good thing. One other thing, Expediator. I talked about this on the weekend video I did with two mates on the weekend, and essentially, and these companies majorly undervalued. It a big sell-off on a profit warning a few months back, but the owner owns 26% of the company. He bought a big chunk of stock at 48 pence. Then they issued a profit warning, and basically it fell off a cliff. So he put 250 grand in at 48 pence, and it dropped down to sort of 22 pence. So he owns a big chunk. But they give a profit warning. But even so, with the profit warning, they said they're going to earn £5 million pre-tax profit on 200 million in revenue. They're only valued at 40 million. So this is, I think, undervalued. And in a bad year, they are still undervalued, really. So what do you reckon on the chart, Nicola?
Well, you know, we see that nasty gap lower that we made in July when they had the profit warning, and how we dropped under all of the moving averages and dropped under the 200 moving average.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with gaps on a chart, you need to fill them quite quickly, like I think within a week. Otherwise, they become support and resistance.
Yeah.
So that becomes our resistance target. It's at 40.2, and that's also where the 200-day moving average is.
Yes,
so that's our big fat. And if we look back and left to the lows in March, that's also the swing low there in March of this year. So we've got a really good level for our target at 40.2, and I've got a second level that I think will be our tough resistance, and that comes all the way back from the end of 2017, early 2018, and a Fib level at 35.5. So I'm going to say that I think, or 35.9 to be better. So I think that our target is 40, and if we are going to keep going higher from there, we should hold above 35.9. If we go up to 40, bang our head at the 200-day moving average, and then get back underneath 35.9, it won't be so bullish. You know, in fact, we'll have got rejected. But if we can hold support above 35.9, I think we should continue higher, and 54 would be on the cards.
Marvellous stuff. Thank you very much, Nicola. And if you look at look at those charts, you can see them on the blog post just below the actual podcast there. And, Nicky, we're speaking next week.
Okay, see you then.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Vast Resources, VAST, up 3.23% to 0.415 pence. At four, Keffi Minerals, up 11.2% to 1.24 pence. At three, it's MNRG, Metal Energy. Okay, I get it. Down 3.16% at 0.46 pence. At two, Union Jack Oil, currently down 2% at 0.245 pence. And number one most followed company is Expediator. I covered them in the weekend podcast, and the weekend video we did, in live video, by the way. Just do a search for that. Expediator is up 10% to 31 pence right now. Okay, top five most followed companies are... Sorry, top five most liked RNS, I should say. At five, Zoetic International, listing on the OTC. At four, Open Orphan, preferred partner agreement. At three, Union Jack Oil, West Newton upgraded operator volumetrics. At two, Argo Blockchain, 7,000 mining machines now in production. And at number one, Tria Bull Resources, upgraded potential volumes at West Newton. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.